Ruby Ryder here. Welcome to Pegging Paradise Podcast number 194 on April 4th, 2018. Changing the world, one ass at a time. I'm not going to do the rest of my intro because I'm tired of it. However, I do have a Patreon update for you.
Yes.
Swiss Boy pledged $5 a month. Thank you so much, Swiss Boy. Wow, I really appreciate your generosity. Sergey pledged $5 a month. Sergey, I can't tell you how much your support means to me. Thank you. Carolyn pledged $5 a month. Carolyn, you rock. Thank you so much for your support. And George pledged $5 a month as well. George, thank you so much for the generous pledge. I really, really appreciate it. Thanks, everybody. You are rocking it one more time with the Patreon week. Yahoo! Thank you all. Okay, let's jump into the letters. Hi, Ruby. I started listening to your podcast a few months ago. Even though my boyfriend is not sure of trying any anal play yet, I'm fascinated about your podcast. A couple of years ago, I was totally against anal play. Even just thinking about it was disgusting. I don't know what changed. Now, I find myself more open to learn about my sexuality and so many other possibilities. I confess, I am intimidated about trying new things. Still, I continued to catch up with all your recordings. I just opened an account on FetLife and you were the first friend request I'm sending. Thank you for your work. I wouldn't think that at my age I was going to learn so much about sexuality. I feel humbled by the amount of sexual information I was not aware of, and at the same time, I am eager to continue to learn the many layers of human sexuality. English is not my first language, and I apologize for mistakes. I do my best to always improve my writing. Kind regards, Black Iris is how she signed it. And wow, your English is really quite excellent. You speak a little bit more formally than most people, probably because it is your second language. But yes, astounding. And just without getting really specific, this woman is in her early 40s. So I wanted to read this because there are so many of us out there all wrapped up in shame and the taboo and the expectations of society that we really don't want to explore things because it makes us feel really uncomfortable. And for whatever reason, a switch flips at some point and we kind of step over the line and say, you know what? This really turns me on, and I don't want it to be a secret anymore. I'm sitting there thinking about this and masturbating to it and getting off on it, and now I'd actually like to explore it, because how much longer do we all have on this earth? How much more of this life do we get, you know? And that's what happened to me. So some people reach that point really early, or perhaps they're less affected by the taboos and all that kind of stuff and expectations, and maybe they've been raised differently, who knows. But, Black Iris, I am so happy that you are here now, that you're getting something out of my podcasts, and that you're open to anal play. I get intimidated too by the new stuff sometimes, but when I have a partner who I care about and who cares about me, it helps, because there's an ease and there's a comfort there. Even when you're trying out new things, if they fail miserably, you can just collapse in a heap laughing, right? It's all okay, even if they fail, as long as nobody gets hurt. And so you educate yourself and you do the safety rules. So I would encourage you to check out my webinars that I have got going like crazy. The webinars are going great. And if you want to learn more about pegging, please do. Thank you for that message. It was really lovely to get. I enjoy hearing how people receive what I put out there in the world, so I appreciate you writing in. All right, here's my next letter. Hey there. Pretty new at this whole experience. My wife and I tried pegging a few times, and it didn't turn out so well. My wife isn't turned on with the idea of fucking me, but I was wondering if there are, I guess, baby steps to get her more motivated. So I actually wrote this guy back, and his name is Cam. And I just quickly asked him, you know, I'm happy to answer your questions, but it would be more helpful to have more details about what didn't turn out so well for me to help you. So he wrote back, "Awesome, thanks for the reply. Yeah, I've pretty much torn apart your website and started reading some podcasts and blog comments. It seemed a few females were pretty much thrown into the fire and got very defensive. I laughed. At least you kept a cool head about it. That one guy that thought he was gay then had sex with a guy and was like, nope, not gay. Haha, funny. But all in all, I have a pretty open mind and just wanted to explore something new with the wife. I suggested the webinars, and she may give it a go, but I'm pretty much letting her drive the car on this, so when she is ready, I'll be here. Appreciate what you do. People give scorned looks and pretty quick to judge about it. Oh, and after much research on equipment and such, I went with the Aslan Minx. I read that was one of your faves or best. Also got a dildo that had a vibe at the base and flat area so she could be stimulated. Haven't had the opportunity to try it yet. Take care and a happy Easter." This was awesome to get. I do appreciate it when someone finds my website and starts to just dig through it and blow through all the articles and educate themselves, because I've said it before, all the information that I provide you in a class or a webinar is on my website. You just have to look around. And it's actually not that hard to find. It's all in the frequently asked questions. There's a whole bunch of articles that it refers to. So if you just keep looking and reading, you're going to learn an awful lot. Good choice on the harness, sir. I totally support you. I also admire your approach of letting her drive the car, right? It's funny because I always say, who's driving the bus? Or who's driving the train or whatever. I don't think I've ever said driving the car, but that metaphor is awesome. So you're letting her drive the car, which means that you are allowing her time frame with her comfort level as far as when all of this happens. When it does feel right, podcast number 112 would probably be an awesome thing. I suspect that she may have some fears or concerns about the whole pegging activity, because there's so many different areas that people can be concerned about that it's really rare for them to not be concerned at all about any of them. So I think podcast number 112, when she's ready, would be an awesome thing for you too. It sounds like you made some great purchases, and I do hope that you have some fun with those, and also that you take it slow. I've talked about taking it slow quite a bit, and you are at the perfect place where taking it really slow and doing that step-by-step anal play with your sexy times, increasing a little bit, doing a little bit more next time, and then maybe a finger, and then maybe wait for a few days. If she doesn't consider it sexy, then it might not be something you would want to sext her about during the day, about, ooh, I'd love to feel your finger up in my ass tonight. You know, if you'd already done something like that. But at the same time, one of the things you might want to do is ask her permission to put a butt plug in while you're fucking her and let her see how intense your orgasm is. Many times that helps women see why men want to do this, just because they get intrigued at the intensity of the orgasm. So that's an idea. But however it all works, however she decides to drive that car, please do let us know when you do the act and we can play that celebratory music for you and congratulate you. Thanks for writing in. Okay, this came through on the chat. One of the guys on the chat had been kind of grousing around about how he wasn't getting any and things weren't going quite the right way. And all of a sudden he comes back on the chat, and I have his full permission to read this. And he had quite the night. So here you go. "Looks like the good wishes of the folks here have worked miracles, because last night was epic. Mrs. E had enough of me on tenterhooks, prowling about the house all week, and decided to, quote, sort me out, end quote. Around 10 o'clock last night, she entered the lounge. I knew something was afoot, and had been edgy with anticipation all evening. She gestured towards the bedroom, her crop, which amazingly quickly has become her weapon of choice, dangling provocatively from her hand. The bedroom had been prepared as only a woman knows how. This may be wasted on some fellows, I suppose, but it transports me to a unique, special place, a place where my wife is totally in control. Lately, at least half our sessions have involved some sort of impact play, a crazy contrast to the virtually sexless marriage we had barely 6 months ago. We both enjoy this immensely. We still have a long way to explore here. Suitably aroused, I felt cool oil running down towards my ass. Her fingers explored me slowly and deliberately. I recall Ruby advising not to hurry this new experience, and I'm so glad we haven't. My wife has really embraced this part of our play. She continued, gradually introducing fingers, slowly filling and stretching me. It's this feeling of filling, of pressure, that does it for me. To date, I have not orgasmed from prostate massage alone. However, the effects of pressure greatly enhance it. We've tried fisting twice before. After a lifetime of do-it-yourself, it wasn't a massive challenge to accommodate her hand. She really enjoys this, and naturally so do I. It's intense and very intimate. She then took out what she calls, quote, our big toys, end quote. They're not massive by any stretch of the imagination, but I think it's fair to say they're ample. And it's here I learned a lesson. Whilst we've played with these toys before, it was not with any real thrusting motion. The larger of the two is 10 inches long and just over 2.5 inches in girth. She pushed it slowly inside me from behind and proceeded to thrust against it using her pubic area. Whilst the girth is right up my street, that 10 inches soon bottomed out. We then swapped to our other toy, still attached to her cherry red minx harness. This dildo is 9 inches long and 2 inches in girth. The girth is easily comfortable for me, but 9 inches is on the boundary of what I can take, depth-wise. Mrs. E is pretty enthusiastic. She fucked me by hand, banging against her thrusting pubic area once more, the straps of her harness slapping tantalizingly against my legs. She knows only too well I just want her to, quote, strap it on, end quote, but has told me plainly she will decide when that will happen. She continues to tease me relentlessly with this. Finally, she had me lay back on the bed, legs spread, and applied copious amounts of oil. She began working my ass again, this time with more intent. I felt the sweet moment her hand passed fully inside, and my ass closing around her wrist. She gazed deeply into my eyes. Probably due to those years of solo play, one thing I have managed is to keep erect with fairly large tots inserted. This, then, became a major advantage, as with one hand deep in my ass, very slowly pumping, she started wanking my cock. Things were incredibly intense at this point, and I knew where this was going. She took me deep in her mouth and wasn't taking no for an answer. I don't come particularly quickly at the best of times, but this took an age. Once there, it was an orgasm that seemed to last so very much longer than normal, and fuck, so intense, I literally screamed. Good job we have no close neighbors. Strange, as I tensed the muscles in my arms and legs, it traveled and seemed to last as long as I wanted, inhabiting other parts of my body. And that was me done. My beautiful wife had, quote, sorted me out, end quote, just as she promised. We spent another hour pillow talking. God, she has a filthy mind. I am indeed very fortunate, so no more moaning from me. We're very positive Mrs. E's pussy problem will get sorted out. Then we're simply going to, quote, fuck each other's brains out, end quote. This had so much delightful detail. And fisting is something that I don't talk about all that much, occasionally on the podcast, so this was a delight to read. And I quickly asked him if I could put it on the podcast, and he said sure, that he kind of felt like he'd been complaining so much in the chat room. That he decided that he kind of owed me one and he should describe what happened. And you did, sir. You outdid yourself. You outdid yourself after she sorted you out. I love the phrasing. One of the really cool things about the chat room is that there are literally people from all over the world. So the phrasing that people use, the words that they use for different things, is endlessly entertaining and interesting for me. This is no exception. Thank you for that story, and I'm so glad it was so epic for you and your lovely wife. Okay, here's another one. I just listened to podcast number 193 and decided to share my experience with a blow-up doll. I was in my late 20s, horny and optimistic. My wife at the time was very vanilla. All sex toys made her uncomfortable. I had a cheap female blow-up doll I purchased years before, stashed away, and mostly forgotten in a box in the closet. I got it when I was 20 and tired of regular masturbation. The idea of anal play came to me as more of a question. I assumed that gay men did it all the time, so there might be something to it. Of course, you corrected the misconception for me. When I started watching lesbian strap-on play, it was obvious that all you had to do is remove the receiving woman and put me in her place. So in an inspired moment of optimism, I got a cheap beginner's kit and had it hidden away, thinking I could very slowly introduce toys into the bedroom. I tried for months to even get her to consider the idea, but that door was shut tight and locked. One day, she went away on a business trip for a few days, and by the end of day two, I decided I wanted to play with the harness and dildo. I got the doll blown up and started working on getting the harness on the doll. It was my first experience with it all, so it took some time. I got the dildo in the harness and tightened it around the doll, lubed up my ass and the dildo, and climbed on board. The doll held my weight, and I was able to work it in and slide it all the way in. I remember it was a comfortably full feeling, but no pain. Since there was no weight to the doll, if I lifted myself off it, my ass would keep the dildo in, bringing the doll with it. I had to put my feet across its thighs and use my ankles to hold it down to be able to slide the dildo in and out. Once I found a rhythm, I tired, laying down on it. I lubed my cock up and it slid between my body and the doll until I shot my load between its rubbery tits. As I laid on top of the doll recovering, the dildo slipped out of my ass. My legs were sore for days after that, but it was worth it. I love your podcast. Keep up the important work. You are changing the world, one ass at a time. And this is signed PeggingFan77. Yay, a blow-up doll story. See, I knew there was somebody out there that had to have played with a blow-up doll. There's so many of us, and we've tried so many things, that when that guy wrote that on the form, I thought, yeah, there's got to be somebody out there. Thank you for sharing that story with us. It sounds really fun. Here's the next one. Hi there, Ruby. Been some time since I have contacted you. You had run a few of my emails on your podcasts. Thank you. I just wanted to give you some updates. I've seen a pro now 3 times to take care of my pegging desires. And wow, amazing, amazing, amazing is all I can say. The way a woman looks into my soul as she takes care of business is intoxicating. I've gotten to be kind of a size king, if you will, and just love the feel of a good stretch all the way in. Maybe a bad dragon toy will be in my future, as you have suggested, to those who want quality large and extra large products. All to work up to a woman's fist, but I digress. Thank you again for all your guidance in this fantastic topic. Now the ugly part of my update. I have told the wifey last year that I enjoy wearing lingerie and more. I only wear panties. She knew about it, but acknowledged. Also, she had found my Tumblr open on the phone and was less than pleased, as there were conversations on there about me wanting to learn from others on why I would like to share her. A totally different topic, I know. So, fast forward a few months, where I had been working away from home during the week. Our intimacy had been less than present. Going on 6 months or better since we have had any kind of connection. She's entering menopause, 48 years old, and that is having all kinds of negative effects for us. Emotionally, she is having ups and downs, and takes a lot out on me due to my absence. And now she has finally come out and said she is no longer attracted to me sexually, and even more so now that she found a teddy in my travel bag, which was for her, but I decided to keep it, as it fit and felt so great. Anyways, After more discussion, also known as fighting, it is clear to me, and by her statement, that she has a foot and arm out the door. I do understand the fact of honest and openness in a relationship, but it does seem as since I have come out to her on my lingerie wearing, me being open to fulfilling her desire of two or more men sexually, and to live her fantasy of me watching her get a sensual massage by a man, that turns into more. So basically, at least with this woman, coming out to her about things has reluctantly all but killed this relationship. She knows not of my visits to a pro. Just thought I'd share with you. Thank you for your guidance. Have a good day, good week, good year. And he signs it N. And I am so sorry to hear that. It's such a difficult decision whether or not to come out to our partners about kinks sometimes. Many, many men decide not to go see pros to satisfy those desires because they don't want to rock the boat, because so much has been invested emotionally, financially, all these things, family, what have you. And I still find it really sad that there's so many people out there that would actually leave someone because of sexual desires. I mean, clearly, we all have our lines that when stepped across, we feel that things are incompatible with someone else. And that's part of trying to find the right partner to be with. But as we mature in life and we go through things, we change. And I think many times, as we get older, we really start to consider letting out those kinks because, again, how much longer do you have to live? How much more time do you have to play this way and to experience this instead of just fantasizing about it and hiding it away like it doesn't exist because your partner's not interested or you're afraid that your partner won't be interested? You took the brave move, you told her, and now it sounds like things are falling apart, and for that I'm so sorry to hear. Very sorry that that's the direction that things took. With time, I do hope that after the dust settles, so to speak, that you find someone more compatible with you sexually that can bring you great joy in the areas that you clearly enjoy so much. And I know that might be hard to envision right now, but I'm going to hold space for that for you, and I look forward, hopefully, to hearing from you again when you have reached that space. I may have shared this story before, and those who have listened to all of my podcasts may remember it. There was a man who was talking about being so interested in pegging, and I totally convinced him to approach his wife with it. She was not at all okay with it. In fact, she rather dramatically called him a pervert and left and freaked out, and they were getting a divorce. When you're someone on this side of the microphone and you give advice, it can be a scary thing because really only you people out there can decide what you need to do. I can tell you what I would do, but I'm just me. I can tell you what I think you should do in an ideal world, but that doesn't mean you have the ideal partner and they're going to react ideally. So I was horrified, really, that this happened to this guy. 2 years went by and he wrote and he said, "Hey, I'm the guy that this happened to, and now I have a partner, she's amazing, we're having all kinds of amazing kinky sex, and thank you. You know, it wasn't easy what I had to do, but I can't thank you enough because now I'm exactly where I want to be, doing all the things I've always wanted to do with someone who is enthusiastically meeting me in those areas," and it was just precious to hear. I hope that happens for you. I really, really do, and I wish you strength. While you're going through the breakup, feel free to let us know how things are going. Give yourself lots of self-pleasure because times are tough. It always pays to take care of yourself a lot. And for me, part of that is self-pleasuring. Thanks for giving us the update. Here's another email. "I have been listening to your podcast for quite a while now. I have written to you before. You may remember me. I was the guy who fantasized about everyone being as wise, intuitive, empathetic, respectful, and sex positive as you. Sadly, my fantasy has yet to become reality, so on to another subject. For a long time, yours was the only podcast about sex that I listened to. However, of late, I have branched out a little and have been searching for podcasts on BDSM, as this is another aspect of my sexuality that is being explored. Listening to the work of others has served to emphasize just how excellent your podcast is and how lucky I was to stumble across it. Most of the material I try to listen to is nothing other than banal, often drunken ramblings by people who have paid no attention to the finer points of either recording or broadcasting. When I listen to you, I am reminded of the motto of the BBC, which is inform, educate, entertain. Your information is never anything other than comprehensive and accurate, and the manner of your delivery is always beyond any criticism. The recordings are perfectly clear, with none of the inane banter and screeching laughter that seems to plague many podcasts. You also manage to be lighthearted when it is appropriate, and your voice is very easy to listen to. I tend to binge listen to your stuff when out taking exercise, and yesterday I listened from number 118 to the present. Boy, are you on a roll, Ruby. The subject matter was dealt with so well, and I feel that you really are at the top of your game. Just wanted you to know that you stand head and shoulders above the rest of the podcast pack. Kind regards, David. Wow, you are, listen to me stammer. You were so filled with compliments in your letter that it embarrassed me to read it to a certain extent. But I wanted to because it's good for me to acknowledge that. It's good for me to take compliments in. Thank you so much. I work hard at these podcasts, and it's lovely to be appreciated. Your compliments were so specific. I, too, interestingly enough, branched out just a little bit to listen to a few other sexuality podcasts and just couldn't hang. I couldn't hang. I listened to maybe 10 minutes of it and thought, I just can't listen to the way that this person is speaking and all of that. So I kind of know where you're coming from. I usually stick to the professional podcasts that aren't about sexuality, actually. If anyone is interested in what I listen to Radiolab, Freakonomics, This American Life, Dan Savage, More Perfect. Those are the main ones. And there's another one that I added recently that was a spinoff from Radiolab, I think, but I can't remember the name of it. But those are the ones that just absolutely fascinate me. And sometimes I feel a little guilty, kind of like, you know, if I really want to learn as much as possible about sexuality, shouldn't I be listening to other people's sexuality podcasts? Just, you know, sometimes it's nice to take a break and find out about other stuff. I have learned so many things by listening to podcasts, the ones that I mentioned. And usually what I do is listen to them when I'm driving long distances. And the only one that has anything to do with sex in there is Dan Savage. Sometimes I can hang with him and sometimes he gets a little intense. Nonetheless, thank you for this lovely, lovely letter. It made my day, my week. Wow. Thank you so much for writing in and letting me know all those things you were thinking. So this next one is a very interesting letter that I got, and I'm going to read it because I thought that other people might be interested in this too. And I am going to put the connection to this person in my Linkorama. Please excuse this intrusion. I wondered if you or someone you might know be interested in something that I have worked on. If you have any interest in or practice a cuckold lifestyle, you might find something called a, quote, cuckold affirmation, end quote, or, quote, hot wife affirmation, end quote, interesting. It is a ceremony and celebration similar to a wedding, but with special, quote, vows, end quote, ring exchange, and what I call the, quote, cucky moon, end quote. If you want more information, just let me know and I will send you a sample ceremony. So what I'm going to do is I am going to put this guy's email in the Linkorama, and I'm going to put a link to it so that it's not right there, so hopefully the bots can't scan it. But if anyone is interested in this, because I know we've read some stuff recently about cuckold couples, if anyone's interested, please contact this guy. It sounds like he spent some time on this, and it might really appeal to some of you. And he signs it, Respectfully, Cuck Steve. Steve, I so appreciate you sending this in, and I'm going to put that out there, and who knows, maybe people will write and want to see what you have created. It sounds very interesting. Thanks for sharing it with us. Okay, so for the rest of this podcast, actually, what I'm going to talk to you about is some political stuff. So if you aren't at all interested in the politics of the United States, then you might want to kick to the end, or maybe you disagree with me on this, but this is a really, really important thing that affects everyone. I know that I have talked about being in the sex education community connects me with all kinds of different people who are in a variety of ways very sexual, including sex workers, including cam girls, including sex phone sex operators, etc., as well as just really, really sex positive people. So I've become a pretty intense ally of sex workers and those people who have jobs that are similar to that. And this recent bill that sailed through the House and then through the Senate, and it's known as the SESTA and FOSTA, those are the acronyms that identify it, is really, really not a good thing. How they hooked everyone in to vote for this was it was supposed to be an anti-sex trafficking bill. The sad part of it is that it's going to do really absolutely nothing, or very, very little, to stop trafficking and help the victims. What it does is it holds websites who advertise for sex traffickers responsible and allows the victim to sue them. That's one of the parts of the bill. That's the main one that they talked about the most. So perhaps some of you would have already noticed the dominoes that have begun to fall. Craigslist has shut down their personal ads. Gone. Totally gone because of the liability. Those of you who use Microsoft may have noticed that they sent out a new Terms of Service, TOS, right? Well, in there, they warn about use of offensive language and inappropriate content, such as nudity, that may result in suspensions or bans. And this includes Skype, Xbox, Office, and other services. Talk about vague. Offensive language and inappropriate content, according to whom? But let me continue. Google Play updated its policy to ban explicit content such as promotional images of sex toys and apps that promote escort services. Google Drive has begun deleting explicit content and occasionally locking out its users that they think are sex workers or have content that they deem is not okay. Now, if you dig into the fair use policies of all of these, and, you know, we click the little thing that says, yes, I understand that you have these rules, buried deep in there, I'm sure, are words that cover these actions and cover their ass. But it is no coincidence that they are starting to do this now, which basically resembles a huge step towards intense censorship. It's pretty clear that this has happened in response to the SESTA-FOSTA bill. And I know that 45 hasn't signed it yet, but it's a pretty done deal that he likely will. I can't think of any reason that he wouldn't sign it, except for maybe because he's got a sex worker suing him. Okay, but anyway, we're not going to go down that path at all. The censorship that this bill puts on the internet affects everyone. It affects porn, okay? Let's see, FetLife is really concerned, and they're deciding what to do. They're having discussions about it. Here's another thing that happened that we cannot look at as coincidental in terms of the timing. Amazon stripped all of its erotica and romance novels of their ranking without explaining why. And those ones classified as romance were thrown into the erotica category. This is like 1984, people. This is pretty scary. There are also a whole bunch of smaller websites that have been kept track of that are shutting down that were used by sex workers to try and find clients. CityVibe, Hung Angels, Pounced.org, YourDominatrix.com, The Erotic Review, Night Shift, Yellow Pages, Touch by Venus, My Scarlet Book, Providing Support, Verify Him, all of those have shut down. They're small businesses, and so for them to try and fight any kind of litigation that might arise because of supposed sex trafficking charges, it could devastate their entire business. And to sort of try to put this in understandable terms, everyone is against sex trafficking of underage people. Everyone's against sex trafficking of any age people. Coercion is not okay. But there exists a whole network of sex workers out there who do it because it's a good job. It pays well. They may not like everything about it, but it pays the bills and it allows them to earn a lot of money in a small amount of time so that they have time for other things like their families even. And what this has done is it has taken away their ability to find clients online and do proper vetting for them. We've talked about this, my friends and I. And it's crazy because now the only option they have is kind of to go freelance and go sit in a bar, walk the streets, which is so much more dangerous. So let's look at the other side of it. Is this bill going to do what it was intended to do, which is to help sex trafficking victims? More than likely, what this bill will cause is a migration from more accessible advertising platforms online to the less accessible ones on the deep web. The thing is that law enforcement were monitoring these sites, and Backpage, which is the one that took the brunt of all this, was actually working hand in hand with law enforcement, reporting people they thought were sex trafficking advertisements, and actually going to court and testifying, saying, yes, these are our records, this person did take this ad out so that they could be prosecuted. It wasn't ideal, but it was much better than driving them underground so no one can find them. Do you think that that is going to help the victims? That is fucking not going to help the victims at all. And when you say, well, at least they won't be able to advertise in these places anymore. Well, this is true. The sex trafficking people will not be able to advertise in these places anymore. But not only will that affect all of the other sex workers who are doing sex work consensually of their own volition and bring much, much more violence to their lives, but it is having a domino effect on your internet freedoms. It truly, truly is. This censorship thing is going crazy. And I don't blame these companies for doing what they're doing because the liability, as the law is written, is crazy. So our own Department of Justice actually wrote a letter before this bill was signed saying this is not a good bill. This is not a good bill for a number of reasons, but one of the biggest objections they had was that there was one more thing that was required for them to prosecute. So basically, the existing law, the way it is, they're able to prosecute sex traffickers. This law added one more aspect that is necessary to get a prosecution, which basically means it is harder to convict sex traffickers who get caught. So, okay, is it helping the victims? No, they get driven underground where people are less likely to know who they are and where they are. There are no online advertisements to be sorted through. And also the current climate of attitude towards sex workers, I get that it's illegal. I really do. And at the same time, what was happening before all this came down was that the general public really wasn't all that concerned about sex work. The majority of people was like, yeah, it's always been there, whatever. And so what they did was and when I say they, I will explain this, they reframed it and defined it as sex trafficking, because when you see a poster of a small child crying and it talks about sex trafficking, it pulls your heartstrings, as it should. It pulls everyone's heartstrings. There's a huge swell of support to fight something like that, because it's horrendous, it's horrifying, it's awful. Unfortunately, what they did was they took the definition of sex trafficking and broadened it so that it actually covers all sex work. You can be someone who comes over from another country of your own volition. You decide to do sex work. No, not coerced. You're working on your own. You have no pimp. It's just you there working, but you have trafficked yourself and you can be arrested as a sex trafficker. Is that the craziest thing? So basically they're sweeping everybody up in the same net. Why are they doing this? For two reasons. Because the organizations that are out there supposedly trying to help the victims and fight sex trafficking are eligible for a lot of bucks. There's a lot of money being given to these organizations to fight sex trafficking because of that swell of support that and those emotional strings that get pulled. Nobody wants to see this happen. So it's money. And it's also money to the law enforcement. They get more money to fight it as well. So those two entities combine, the organizations that are supposed to be fighting it and law enforcement, and they get a lot of money to fight sex trafficking. And on the other side of things are the really intensely conservative, normally also religious people who just want to stamp out sex work, period. They want it to go away. They want to eliminate the demand for it by making the punishments extreme. They want to eliminate any place to advertise. They just want it to go away, which is laughable. You know, sex workers have always been around. They have always been around and they always will be. And one of these days, our country is hopefully going to decriminalize sex work. The taboo will be lifted, the judgment will be lifted, and they will be seen as valued members of society. Here's some things that maybe people haven't thought about with sex workers. What about if you're an older person who's been married for a really long time and your spouse dies? Who are you supposed to go get sex from? Or are you just supposed to, like, not have any touch and sex? What if you're one of those people that is so intensely involved and fascinated by your career that is perhaps technology related that you pretty much don't know how to relate to people? Should you go and live a life of no companionship, no sex, no touching? Or should you be able to go get that from a sex worker? What about the handicapped? Should they be able to find relief and sexual interaction from sex workers? So these are people that you don't think about. All that aside, the really sad thing is that this bill does not help the victims. It really doesn't. So, in my Linkorama, a link to one of those petitions at whitehouse.gov. Now, with the current administration, I have no idea if they're even responding to those. I would kind of be surprised if they were. But rather than calling your elected officials, how about you click on that? All you have to put in is your name and your email. That is it. They are not nosy about your information. And what it's for is for the repeal of this bill. Go there, click on it, sign it, and for goodness sakes, share it widely. Let these people see our numbers. Because what's happening right now is so sex negative that it's kind of scary. It really is. I mean, are you going to get banned because you're using offensive language while you're playing your Xbox game? Do you see how far-reaching this is? I'm also going to put a bunch of links to a series of different articles about it from a bunch of different perspectives. And there's even a PDF of the letter that the Department of Justice wrote that said, basically, this is a bad law. We don't want it. Don't do it. And the way that it was pushed through, I didn't do the best in my government classes, so I'm not sure exactly how things are supposed to work in government. But apparently, after the House voted for it, it should have gone to the House Judiciary Committee for it to be looked at to see if it was a good law. But they skipped that and just shot it over to the Senate and had the Senate vote on it. So what happened here is this law got through, and it was grandstanding is all it was. It was grandstanding like, I am against sex trafficking. The last thing I'm going to tell you about this is I'm going to read you a letter from a senator who voted against it to all of those senators that voted for it. This is from Senator Ron Wyden, W-Y-D-E-N, and I so apologize, I do not know what state Senator Wyden is from. But Senator Ron Wyden has already put out a statement scolding the House for failing to understand what they did. And here's what he wrote. History shows that politicians have been remarkably bad at solving technological problems. I have written laws in the past, including Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act and the Internet Tax Freedom Act, that have kept politicians and special interests from sinking the Internet. This bill will only prop up the entrenched players who are rapidly losing the public's trust. The failure to understand the technological side effects of this bill, specifically that it will become harder to expose sex traffickers while hamstringing innovation, will be something that this Congress will regret. I take a backseat to no one when it comes to fighting sex trafficking and locking up the monsters who prey on the defenseless. I have authored laws to support victims and provide ongoing funding paid for by those convicted of heinous crimes against children, and authored laws to improve the child welfare system to help prevent children from being victims in the first place. However, the bill passed today by the House will make it harder to catch bad actors and protect victims by driving this vile crime to shadowy corners of society that are harder for law enforcement to reach. And that was a senator who was in the House of Representatives, and so it's been to the Senate. They voted for it. It's there. It's waiting for 45's signature on his desk. And I lied. The last thing I'm going to read you is something that actually gave me hope, because it's always better in a situation like this to end with something that gives you a little bit of hope. And before I read this, also take note, probably the people who are the closest to the actual sex traffickers are sex workers, and also the people that allow sex workers to advertise. Those are the two people who would probably be able to tell you what looked like a trafficking ad or not. They would be able to tell you walking down the street if the sex worker walking down the street was trafficked or not. But are those sex workers who are doing consensual, non-coerced sex work going to go to law enforcement and tell them who's being sex trafficked? No, because they're afraid of getting arrested as well. Of course they're not. So think of it this way. If sex work was decriminalized, this would solve so many problems. And interestingly enough, there is an elected official in the state of New Hampshire who, in a series of tweets, explained why this might be a really good idea. If I thought sex work decriminalization was good for sex workers and bad for everybody else, I wouldn't advocate for it. Sex work decriminalization is good for, number one, trafficking victims who are more likely to be found and identified, as well as less likely to be stigmatized and incarcerated. Number two, police officers who are less likely to be tempted to abuse their power over other people and can focus more on their original mission, work that actually protects others. Three, people with disabilities who benefit from increased access to companionship and erotic labor. Four, people with aesthetic, quote, quality of life, end quote, concerns, who are less likely to observe street-based work if sex work shifts to indoor spaces. Number five, women of color who are less likely to be profiled and harassed. Six, trans women who are less likely to be profiled and harassed. Seven, women who are less likely to suffer harms from slut-shaming. Eight, people in sexless marriages who may choose to remain together if they can get their sexual needs satisfied elsewhere. Nine, friends and family of sex workers who can share their lives with sex workers without facing trumped-up, quote, pimping, profiting, and promoting charges. 10. Taxpayers who benefit if their tax dollars are spent only on policing crimes that actually have a victim. 11. Participants in the economy who benefit from economic gains associated with increased productivity and labor mobility. Parentheses, criminal records make it harder to obtain and switch jobs. 12. Anybody like me who wants the violence caused by black markets and criminalization to stop. This series of tweets were put up by Representative Elizabeth Edwards from the New Hampshire State House. Elizabeth Edwards, I wish that I could clone you and bring you to California, because Kamala Harris is no friend of sex workers. She threw them under the bus three times in three different elections. And when she brought those charges against the owners of Backpage, as a district attorney, she knew they wouldn't stick. She knew they wouldn't. She did it to get elected. She did it for grandstanding. She did it as a political stunt. She is absolutely no friend of sex workers. And you know, these are all my friends. These are all my friends. And I've heard other things too, like the only difference between a porn actress and a sex worker is the camera. I've also heard, if you can give it away, why can't you sell it? So, there may be a lot of you out there who disagree with me and maybe have skipped the whole last part of this podcast, but it's important to me. It is so wired into and interwoven around people's attitudes about sexuality. They tend to look at all sex workers as victims. There are victims. There are sex trafficking victims. There are coerced victims. There are sex workers out there with pimps who are going through horrendous things. And unfortunately, that will likely continue and maybe even get worse with this latest bill that got passed. But there are also sex workers who choose to do that work. And selling your body, there's this big taboo thing, this big freak out, you know, gut punch reaction to selling your body. Aren't you kind of selling your body if you do really hard manual labor? You can't do that forever and it tears your body up and you're not going to be the same afterwards. These are choices that people make about their bodies and what to do with them. They're choices to make that they can spend a few hours making so much more than working a 40-hour shift in a week at McDonald's for minimum wage. So anyway, clearly I feel very passionate about this. I'm going to shut up now. And I send a heartfelt thank you out to anyone who supports the cause of decriminalization, not to be confused with legalization. We want decriminalization for sex workers. Absolutely. And also heartfelt thank you to Representative Elizabeth Edwards. You fucking rock, lady. You totally do. Alrighty, I am going to end it here. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum. Or pegging101.com, where I have informational pegging articles only, with no kink. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps, which you can find a sampling of under the tab Follow on my website for both Android and iPhones. You can also stream that podcast directly from my website if you want to. The Follow tab has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, and check out my Facebook page. If you order any toys from Entice Me, please remember to use that coupon code RIDER for 15% off of your purchase. Every purchase you make supports my efforts to put information about pegging out into the world. Please send your questions to ruby@peggingparadise.com. No question is too random, too ridiculous, or too risque. Many listeners are going to learn along with you, so don't be shy. Throw those questions in my mailbox or call me at 805-500-6544. Thank you for downloading and listening, everybody. Go to Linkorama, click on that link, sign that petition. You rock. Happy pegging.